future, talk radio will actually educate, inspire, and make you think. The future is now. Topics and music that affect your life from Universal Broadcasting Network. Tune in at ubnradio.com.
This is Dates and Mates with your host, Damona Hoffman.
It's Wednesday, lovers, and you are listening to Dates and Mates. It's me, Damona Hoffman, and I'm sitting here in studio with the lovely Ray Christian, CEO
What's
of
up?
The Textbird app.
What's
Hi.
Up?
What's up?
Good
What's
to
up?
See you.
Good to see you, too. Producer Jay is here in the house.
Oh, hi.
I'm excited for today's show, and I hope today's show will have you all at home on the edge of your seats, because we have some really juicy questions today. We have things like, how do you keep a good man from getting away? How do you catch him?
How do you do it?
Catch him and keep him. How do you get a good guy if you ain't got the time? And is it wrong to date a younger guy? Plus, Ray and I will go head to head in a brand new segment called He Said and She Said.
Say that three times fast.
Let's just do He Said, She Said. He said he sells seashells by the seashore.
Ooh, that's tough.
Plus, we got another edition of Ray's Rant. You loved it so much last week. There will be more. And producer Jay has climbed into his time machine and brought us a surprising old love custom to discuss in the romance rollback.
Can't wait.
You know, Ray.
Cannot wait.
Sometimes men just don't understand.
Look, Damona, sometimes girls just don't get it.
I guess that's why we have He Said, She Said. So in this corner, repping the men, he's in his early 30s, he's single and ready to mingle, we have Ray Christian. And you can introduce me.
In this corner with the pink blouse looking styling. A southpaw from Los Angeles, Damona Hoffman.
Whoop, whoop. Okay, producer Jay, hit us with the topic. I'm going to take the woman's position, and Ray's going to rep for the guys.
All right, let's see. Let's see. What is our topic for today? Why can't I find it? Okay, who spends more money on dating, women or men? Go.
I'm going to let you take it first.
Ladies
Ray.
First.
Oh, geez.
Ladies first.
Okay. All right. Fine. I'm going to take the floor because it's obvious that women spend more money on dates because women have to think about all of this presentation business for the guys that usually is only good for one date. So you get the dress. Can't wear that out again, especially, you know, if you took your selfies in and you posted on Facebook. And then you have to get the blowouts. You know how much a blowout cost? Blowouts cost a minimum of $45 plus tip just to get the hair looking sort of like this. And then on top of that, you have to do makeup, nails. These nails, $50. $50 plus a tip for these nails.
Those nails are on fleek.
And don't even start with the shoes. The shoes... Like, I'm a budget shoe person, so mine were probably around $100, $150 bucks. But there were girls on my show, Black Love, that said they spent like $600, $700 on shoes, and they have a closet full of shoes. And this is all these are all things that we do to attract the attention of the male. So when you add it up, I would say that women are probably spending in the neighborhood of $500, $600 getting prepared for each date that they go on.
Damona, I'm very difficult to be offended. It's hard to offend me, but I'm a little bit, let's say, affronted that this is even a question. Because at the end of the day, it's us guys in a landslide that are paying way more for these dates and dating in general. I concede all your points. Y'all girls do look good, and I'm not mad at that. But what you're talking about, those are kind of electives. Do you need the $600 shoes? Do you need the ridiculous fingernails and hair? As I think the great poet Drake said, girls don't do it for the guys, they do it for the other girls. And I kind of agree with that. We pay for a first date, second date, third date. And just as like a general rule, first date can easily cost $100 to $150, especially when you're adding in a couple drinks. And we like to look good too. I have to buy clothes and have a gym membership. So what you're doing, though, I feel like is not necessary. What we do is absolutely necessary. We have to pay.
You know, Ray, if a girl shows up looking a hot mess, you're not going to go out with her again. So you may think it's an elective, but I would like to send you out with a few girls that don't do all of those things and see how many of them you want to go out with again or drop that much money on a first date for.
Okay, how about this? What's your estimate for how much you pay for one date? The first date with one guy you met on Tinder or whatever it may be.
I really think it's in the neighborhood of $500 because you have to consider the dating site that, you know, maybe you're paying for Tinder Premium. Maybe you're paying for also eHarmony. Okay, fine. I'll give you that. And then we have to do all of these beauty things. And you brought up the fitness. I forgot about the fitness. There's so much more pressure on women to be fit and thin and look good for the guys. Guys can come, they can roll in with their beer belly. If they make a lot of money and they're smart, half the women won't even care. I say $500.
$500 for one date?
I swear.
I need to check your math, I think. But okay.
The dress, the nails, the shoes, the dating site, the fitness, the diet, all of that stuff adds up.
But you can amortize a lot of those costs towards the next date.
Not
and
if
the
you took a selfie
date.
And it's on Facebook. No, you can't.
Well, don't be taking selfies on first dates. I think that's the big lesson here, the big PSA.
All right, well, how much do you guys spend?
I think, I mean, just hard costs that are undeniable, the average date is probably about $200 between getting ready, between the drinks and the Uber and the Uber back.
Oh, well, we have to pay for the Uber, too.
Not
we can't let
we
you pick us
home.
Up. We don't know you.
And the valet or the parking and the dinner and drinks. Come on. If you get like 3 or 4 drinks each or a couple, okay.
That
adds
is
up.
Too many drinks to have on a first date. One drink is all you need. First date, you guys are spending too much on the first dates.
Okay. Okay, we go on 3 dates and we get maybe a drink or two on the first. That's like $80. And then the next date is a dinner and a couple drinks. That's easily $150. And then the next date we're still paying for, third date. That's another $200. So the whole in totality, we're close to $500, and those are unavoidable costs. You don't need those fingernails are already looking good. You don't necessarily need $60 or the blowout. That's
well,
unnecessary.
You didn't see them before. I guess, Ray, we're just gonna have to agree to disagree. I want to know what you all think at home. If you think I'm right and you think the ladies spend more money on dating, tweet me or message me on Facebook and say he said, she said. Hashtag team she. But if you think Ray made his point for the fellas, then go ahead and tweet me or send me a Facebook message at Damona Hoffman, dating expert Damona Hoffman, and say hashtag team he. And then we'll tally it up and we'll see who's really right.
This is a landslide. I'm winning this one.
The debate will continue. All right, producer Jay, you went back into your time machine for us. So roll up your sleeve and roll out the romance rollback.
The romance rollback.
That's right. We're going to
like
take it back a little bit. You know, I like to do my whole little going back in time because I'm a time traveler.
I think you are a time traveler.
I might be, honestly.
So you're in Romance Rollback, we talk about antiquated dating customs mm-hmm. that just wouldn't quite fly today, but things that people really used to do when they were young or old and in love.
Right. Well, okay. So today I'm like super interested in because I thought this was like really, really cool, really fun. Because a lot of times we do all like have all these customs, we do all these things, and we have no idea where they come from, you know. So today we're going to talk about the honeymoon.
Mm.
Dun, dun, dun. The honeymoon.
What does that even mean?
Right.
Honeymoon?
That's the thing. So apparently there's 3 different, you know, reported origins of it. But the practice that we know today basically started in 19th century Britain. And it was really intended for you did take a trip, but this trip was meant to go visit family members and other people that couldn't make it to the wedding. So it was a habit of like, yes, after the wedding ceremony, we take some time off and we go traveling. But a lot of times other family members would come and all that. And so you'd go and you'd visit anyone who couldn't make the trip to be at your wedding. So that's,
that does not sound like a vacation.
Because it wasn't supposed to be a vacation. But, you know.
Sounds like
it's
work.
Collecting gifts.
Exactly.
Ooh, I got to get my sleigh and get my gifts,
gifts.
In here.
It's collecting gifts. So that was a little bit of, you know, where we kind of get that. But it also used to last for about a month as opposed to, you know, like the week or so that people tend to take.
We don't get that much time off of work.
We
certainly
don't
get that much time off of dates and mates.
So another one, which is a little bit more ominous, was in Scandinavia. Men would kidnap their wives and keep them hidden for about a month until their family would stop looking for them until they would get them pregnant, because at that point you could no longer annul the wedding, the marriage. So there was that as well.
So there were some great matches happening in Scandinavia.
Exactly.
So good that they had to actually like handcuff them.
Exactly. So it's
true love.
That's that like
true love.
That. And then, you know, they've been saying about like honey and moon, meaning that whole moon cycle after the wedding. So it's like usually a month. So we're still kind of going with the month. And then the last thing was in order like for the couple was given enough honey wine or mead, which is, you know, fermented honey wine or whatever in like Scandinavian countries.
Sounds
and all
delicious.
That. Yeah. They would give them that as a wedding gift enough to last a month. So it's honey moon cycle. So they were like, yeah, you're going to be sipping on that mead for about, you know, like a month after the wedding. So
and then you're going to sober up and realize what the heck you've done with
exactly.
your life.
Exactly.
Thankfully, you've already knocked her up.
And then you'll be pregnant. Exactly. So then you can't annul it. And then you go visit some family.
And then you go on antidepressants. And then that's today's dating.
So
that's today's honeymoon.
So yes, that is the wonderfully romantic tradition of a honeymoon.
I like the idea of chasing down your cheap relatives that didn't show up. Like, you better give me some gifts.
Right.
Hey.
No,
where's my china?
Yeah.
Knock.
I got a whole bunch of family around, you know, around the world that ain't making a trip, you know, to LA. But if I go there, I probably can get some cash.
You can clean up.
Yeah.
Clean up. I like that one. I like that tradition. And boy, I think honeymoons are the best. I mean, I had a great time on my honeymoon. That is still one of the best trips I've ever taken in my life. One of the best weeks
Where'd
of
you
my
go?
Life. To Italy. Ooh. Which is funny because it was in my profile. There, it was like the question was, where, if you go anywhere in the world, where would you go? And I said, Italia. And I was studying Italian in the moment. And then when I got to Italy, all of my Italian studies just went out the window. And my husband was like, your Italian is worthless. It's worthless
like
here.
Pizza.
Well, because everyone there speaks English too. So they're just like, they're not like the French where they're like, they'll pretend they don't speak English and force you to speak French. The Italians will just be like, it's okay, say it in English. And you're like, but I studied Italian for 2 years. And they're like, it's okay. So my Italian is worthless. But
I think we can chalk this one up as one of those traditions that has evolved in a good way.
Right.
I like where this has gone from kidnapping and chasing down relatives. I don't want to hang out with relatives. To 2 weeks of just baby making. And good loving.
Right.
If someone told me there's a new tradition that's something that should take off more, to your point, which is that the honeymoon sounds like so much fun. I haven't had one, but I'm looking forward to it. How about the re-moon, like at the 10-year anniversary? A re-honeymoon where you redo it.
Oh,
let's run it back.
My 10-year anniversary is coming up in a few months.
Let's run this back.
Write that down I can tell my husband.
I'll send an anonymous letter to your husband.
Are you familiar of the tradition of the re-moon?
Right.
I like you, Ray.
Thank
I
me
like
later.
It a lot.
Thank you.
Well, I know everything in the world of the single man is not sunshine and rainbows all the time. So I'm going to give you another chance, as I did last week, for you to air your grievances. Do you have something you want to rant about today, Ray?
I have something I want to get off my chest, Damona.
Uh-oh.
Can I hit a forum today? Can we reboot this Ray's rant? Because I'm ready.
I'm going to give you a minute to rant. It's going to be a real minute this time. I'm going to give you a 5-second warning when you got to wrap it up.
You run a
Can
tight
you do
ship.
It? I'm putting 60 seconds on the clock. Do you want to just give us a tease of what you're going to talk about?
Women turning 30.
Women
and
turning
stressing about not being married.
Okay. Hmm. Women turning 30, stressing about not being married. Ray has something to say about it. It's time for Ray's rant. 60 seconds and go.
This has really been grinding my gears. There's this whole cultural, maybe worldwide thing, where girls stress and there's this pressure that they have to be married by 30. And it's crazy. I went through it with my little sister. I've had exes that I went through it with when they're 29 and the end stages of 28. They start to really stress out and lose their mind as if turning 30 and not being married is this awful thing. And then I found something out as I got into my early 30s. I started dating girls that were 31, 32, 33. And let me tell you, they are the honey hole. Girls in their early 30s are magnificent. We got to get away from this worry about turning 30, because when women turn 30, they become more confident, more swag. They have a little more money maybe, and their conversations are exquisite. And this whole thing about, by the way, women's sexual peak is in their early 30s. I didn't know why. I didn't believe it. Maybe it was a physiological thing. It is 100% accurate. It is incredible. So girls, look forward to turning 30. And girls that are in their 30s, tell the girls in their 20s. It's a good thing.
It's a good thing. Woo! You did it in 1 minute and 3 seconds this time. That was really close. I like your rant. And I'm all for it as a woman in my 30s. I love my 30s. But that's thank you. I'm really looking forward to my 40s, which are rapidly approaching.
I was really like holding back my sarcasm. I'd be like, oh, that's good because it's coming up.
Ha 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 ha. I'm looking forward to it.
That's a good laugh.
Forget you, 30 something men in this studio.
Do you think that, like, don't you think that every year just kind of gets a little bit better?
I do. I really do. I mean, there's of course some off years. And then there's the year when my son was born, which I fondly refer to as the lost year. But I've gotten it back. I'm back on the horse. I'm doing more TV shows. So I have my life together a little bit more. But boy, whatever age you are, when you have that kid, that'll really just knock you off your horse. There's nothing like that to totally change your feeling about your age.
There's also nothing like when you just wake up and you are sore somewhere. Like, your knee hurts because you're 30.
You know,
you didn't
my
do anything.
Favorite show, other than Curb Your Enthusiasm, which is coming back, is Younger on TV Land. And, like, the best day of my life was when they followed me back on Twitter and they retweet me and stuff. We have this Twitter relationship, me and Younger on TV Land. But anyhow, the show is about this woman who's 40, who's dating a 28-year-old guy, I think. 28, something like that.
No.
27. No, 26. 26. And she's pretending that she's 26. And she's afraid to tell him. And it's a fabulous show. And you guys can get caught up. I'm sure TV Land has the episodes. But the point is, she gets a pain in her elbow at one time, or her shoulder. And she goes to the doctor. And she's like, what's wrong with me? And he's like, you have 40-year-old shoulder. And as I'm approaching 40, I realize that's a real condition where it cannot actually be, it can't be pinpointed to any one thing. You just get 40-year-old shoulder. But in the dating world, I think 30s are really the sweet spot. And even into early 40s, I find a lot of women feel like they got to throw in the towel at 40. I mean, I just had so many women on the Modern Dating Summit that were like, oh, well, online dating isn't going to work for me because I'm 40 or 53. Or I'm like, these belief systems that keep us tied to not taking a risk are really just barriers in our way of happiness.
I agree.
Not to get too deep in there, but
I haven't tested out the 40-year-old demographic yet. I just haven't.
I haven't dated them.
But man, like the women in their 30s that I've dated and I've seen, they still got the fastball. They're still bringing the heat. They're still looking good, and they're just way more fun to talk to than girls in their 20s. They got everything. It's the complete package. And I'm hoping that even in their 40s, they're even better at talking and more fun to talk to because they understand that art of a conversation. So I'm looking forward to it.
So you're in your early 30s, early-ish.
Correct. Heading towards
Since
mid.
You're throwing curveballs at me, Producer Jay. Hey. Would you date a woman in her 40s?
If we're being honest, no.
Why not?
Well, are we talking about like with the anticipation that maybe it leads to something like marriage or just for giggles?
Oh, good point. Because you want to have children and a picket fence and all that business.
I'm not against like hooking up or a little bit of friends with benefits for a little bit with the girl in their 40s. But if we're going to talk about pursuing something real, it's got to be a girl. My perfect storm would be someone that's probably 3 to 6 years younger than me.
I'm telling you, we were talking about communication in bed on the last episode. I give you a challenge to get friendly with a 40-something and see how much better the communication is in the bedroom. And report
challenge
back, maybe.
Challenge accepted.
Report back. All right, we're going to take a little break. We need to. It's gotten a little hot in here, and so we need to cool it off and give you a little break to regroup.
It's real sultry in here.
Isn't it always? It's going to be a mini break, but when we come back, Ray and I are going to get intimate with your textbook questions on technically dating. So stick around. I'm your host, Damona Hoffman.
And I'm Ray Christian.
And this is Dates and Mates. We'll be back in just a moment.
I'm Damona Hoffman, and I've been coaching singles on how to find love for over 10 years. Relationships, whether they start in a bar, on a dating site, or through friends, have developed much in the same way since I started in the love business. But one thing in particular has forever altered the way we communicate in relationships. Texting. With the rise of texting, I've seen many relationships made and many more relationships broken because we're communicating in a totally new way. If you're confused about what to say and how to say it over text, you need to watch my free training, The Texting Trap, Why Your Messages Made Your Date Disappear, at thetextingtrap.com. Don't spend another weekend wondering whether you'll hear from them ever again. See how to escape the texting trap once and for all. Know how to say just the right thing to your date to make them want more. This video training is free for Dates and Mates listeners at thetextingtrap.com.
Welcome back. I am Damona Hoffman, and this is my co-host,
Ray Christian.
It's time to get real. It's time to say how we feel. It's time for Technically Dating.
Technically Dating.
So Ray is the CEO of the Textbert app, and he's pulled a number of really juicy questions from the app where you can submit any text message you have that you want to have dissected by Textberts, strangers, us. But you can get neutral advice because you show it to your friends and your family. You know, they're going to tell you, well, we don't like that guy anyway, so, you know, you should break up with him. But if you really want to know a neutral point of view on what you should do, you got to put it on the Textbert app. Put your questions there, put your text, and then we'll tell you what we think on a future Technically Dating segment. Okay.
Indeed.
So you have some questions that you've pulled from the vault for us, yeah?
We've got some noodle scratchers today.
Your words.
We've got some doozies.
Noodle scratchers.
This one's going to have you think.
Okay, go on, Ray.
So this person is 23 years old, a female, and she says, this is short and sweet, and there's no so in front of it. She just says, is it wrong to date a guy who is 18 or 19 if I'm 23? What say you, Damona?
No, absolutely not wrong. Do it.
Ooh, short and sweet.
Short and
right
sweet.
Right back to me. I say yes, it's wrong.
What?
It's not ethically wrong, but like it's not going to lead to anything. Unless you just want to get it in and have some fun, don't expect anything out of this.
I have to say, because, you know, I can't talk about the show that I'm working on, but I'm working on a show that's not based in L.A., that's in New York, and there are people in other parts of the world where at 18, 19, 20, 23, they're starting to actually think about being in a serious relationship. And we live in the Peter Pan world of Los Angeles where guys don't want to grow up until they're in their, what, late 30s, early 40s? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Sounds about right.
Sounds about right. So I think that it's absolutely fine. And you don't know where this relationship might be headed, but I wouldn't make an assumption about a guy just because the age on his driver's license is 18 or 19.
I hear what you're saying. Like, it could potentially work, but why fight what typically works for almost every couple? I'd say the vast majority of successful marriages are typically when either they're the same age or when the guy is a little bit older, right?
You are right statistically, but I believe that the world is changing. And I think in 10, 15, 20 years, we're going to see the demographics have shifted and the way that we connect and the see, before you didn't have the ability to meet somebody that was way out of your age range. You just dated in your social circle. But now with online dating, you can date anyone you want. And I think we're going to see it changing in the future.
So my retort would be the fact that our brains scientifically have been shown to not stop forming until we're 26, which is a good reason to not get married earlier than 26. But at the end of the day, we all know guys mature a little bit later than girls. We're kind of dum-dums.
I was going to say that. I was going to take your words. But.
So let us mature for a little bit and go for an older man.
All right, fine. Maybe she doesn't have the option for an older man. Do you have more questions for us?
We do. All right. Numero dos. So I messaged a guy. It's a girl that's 27 years old, a woman, 27. She says, I messaged a guy I'm interested in hooking up with, in parentheses, who happens to be a well-known professional athlete. Okay. Mm-hmm. Need any help killing time in the city? I texted him with a suggestive pick. And I was surprised he actually responded back, quote, how so, unquote. Obviously, my mind is in the gutter, but I don't want to come off too aggressive.
Too late.
Because he probably gets all that all the time. And I'm thinking of something maybe coy, vague, and witty. Help me.
You're already too aggressive, honey. You sent him a suggestive picture. He's not actually asking how so. He's asking you what time are you going to come over and take your clothes off. So really, the only way that you can respond to this, if you're actually intending to go through with it, is just by telling him what time you'll be there.
Okay. So you're going right for the jugular.
I'll let you know when I arrive. What time do you want me? Yeah.
Okay. So you're all right. So you're not against her hooking up with this guy.
She's already started it off in that way by sending him a suggestive photo. Who knows what this could have been if she had started it off on a more neutral foot.
Well, I love the fact that you're condoning, like, just go do it. I would probably say maybe continue the coyness a little bit instead of being so easy. She's already opened up the floodgates of, like, we're flirting. But I would say something like, if he says, how so, of how can we kill some time together, say something like, I got a couple of things in mind, but I want to hear what you think, or something like that. Don't be like so
obvious.
He's not
going to put that in writing if he has half a brain as a professional athlete.
Well, I'm saying her. She says,
not going to put, if she says, what do you have in mind? He's not going to put it in writing.
Okay.
It's just cut to the chase. He's just going to say, come over at 8 or 10 or midnight, probably midnight. She just started this off on the wrong foot. He's not going to wife you, honey.
She came in pretty hot. So you think she just came in a little bit too hot?
It's over. Yeah, you don't need, no. You don't need a suggestive pick. I'm just so, girls.
Well, that's water under the bridge. She's already done that. I say be a little coy.
She's already done that, so you might as well just follow through with what you set up.
Or say something like, I have a couple ideas in mind, but I don't want to ruin the surprise. Something that gets
Or just say, how about I have tickets to the Philharmonic, and how about we go and see the sit in the string section? I don't know, but
I accept
you can't
your offer.
Turn it around at this point. It's over. All right, another question.
This one's going to be, this probably is a little bit more in my wheelhouse, but I want to see how you can show off your ability to be versatile. So... Okay, now we start off with another so. So my ex and I...
Wait, but this is from a guy.
This is from a guy.
From
these kids.
Bama.
From Alabama. Love my Southerners. So my ex and I just ended on a good note over a year ago. Almost 2 years ago. She ended up leaving me for some loser who not only cheated on her, but also ended up in jail for a year.
Boo.
Oh, wow. Boo. Anyways, she adds me on the gram, also known as Instagram.
That's what the kids are calling
it? Yeah, it's just a great nickname for the gram. I love the gram. She added me on the gram today, and as you can see, starts liking all my pics. Again, we ended on a good note, in my opinion, but should I hit her up or what? Really confused. Damona, should she hit him or should he hit her up?
Oh, goodness. This is another case of confusion of when one's actions and one's words don't match up, or there are no words, and then we tend to fill in the words that don't exist. Just because she likes your photo, that doesn't mean that, you know, she wants to be your girlfriend again. This is way jumping to conclusions. She's just saying, hey, we're cool. And now I like, what, 5 photos on the gram? Let's not get ahead of ourselves. Take it one day at a time.
Well, I got a thought for you that might blow your mind a little bit. The gram, by the way, Instagram is kind of the new dating app. It's going down in the DM. And
it's always been.
I think
it was Facebook, and now it's then it was Twitter, and now it's the gram.
You're right. You're right. I think he 100% should hit her up. Anytime I like a girl's pictures, in a way, it's kind of like every time I double tap on that like button, it's kind of like me saying, what's up?
It's like a wink wink.
What up, girl? And so it's kind of like a quick holler. And I think what she's doing to him is the equivalent of a girl at a bar giving you a little smile, a little bit of a gaze into your eyes. That's what she's doing electronically. So yes, hit her up.
But let us not forget, Ray, they broke up for a reason. Why do we have to go back to the old well? Because there was something in there that made it not a match in the first place. Aren't there other girls on the gram that he could like their photos?
Oh, come on. Isn't getting with an ex awesome sometimes?
Not into it.
Because your number doesn't go up, especially from the girl's point of view. It's not like another dude on the roster. It's just it's like riding a bike again. And it's like low commitment. It's just a fun experience. Maybe she just needs some loving. Maybe she feels lonely.
Maybe she does feel lonely. Or maybe she just likes attention. Who knows? Who knows? But I say I wouldn't put that much effort into it. Maybe a couple more photo likes and see if she DMs you. We have one more text, Bert, and then I have to get through some of my questions.
Do you want to
Can I do some of my questions?
Let's skip the text, Bert. Let's go to some real world questions.
Okay.
Outside of the
We've been talking a lot to the younger folks, but there are some older folks that need our help too. So, a 51-year-old from Ackworth, Georgia asked me, "What is the best way to meet an age-appropriate, mature, and spiritual man? She has a career and many great friends, which limits the amount of time she has to engage in new activities." What would you say to 51 from Georgia? We're still in the South now.
Oh, love my dirty, dirty. So
I don't think she's in the dirty, dirty.
Ackworth, Georgia?
Go on. I want to give her some advice. So what do you say?
Well, if you tuned in last week to our first ever Ray's Rant, you may remember what I say to this is, okay, you got friends. We all have friends. Well, you got a career. We all have a career. Maybe start to diminish the time you spend on those and put some effort in getting outside. Just go to the park, the beach, the coffee shop, the grocery store, and throw out a little bit of a coy smile. Maybe lock eyes with someone and get a gaze. Just meet guys. They're out there. Put yourself out there. Cut out some of the time with friends, maybe a little bit, and get out there. Don't expect it to fall in your lap.
I'm actually in agreement with you here. And I think the key to breaking out of her singlehood prison right now, she actually said in her question, she has many great friends, which limits the amount of time I have to engage in new activities. That is your problem right there.
Yep.
You have to carve out the time, as you just said. And then she says she wants to meet an age-appropriate, mature, and spiritual man. And without giving away all of my secrets, when I create someone's 60-day plan to find their man, I say I like basically create an avatar of who is that guy that you want to meet, and then where would he be? If you want to meet a spiritual man, go to spiritually activities.
Go to a Buddhist temple.
Go to a Buddhist temple. Go to church. Whatever it is, I don't know your definition of spiritual. But you want to meet a spiritually man, do spiritually things. Okay, I have a really detailed question from Boston, Massachusetts. This is like a really specific situation, so I want to make sure.
Bean town.
All right, so this is a woman. She's 57. She met a guy 8 years ago, went on 3 dates, and that was it. Then she heard from him 4 years later, and then went on 1 date for dinner. Then she heard from him a month ago, and he said that he's been trying to find her for almost a year, and he lost her number. And then he said that she's the one that popped into his head over the last 8 years. And he often wonders if she's the one that he's supposed to be with. By the way, he's a 54-year-old, never married, bachelor. So she went for it. She went on 2 dates with him recently. They have a third one planned. But she's saying she doesn't want him to slip through her fingers, as they have a great time together, and he's a great catch. What can she do to finally land him without scaring him off?
This one is, there's a lot of layers to this. Yeah. I'm going to defer to you on this one, Damona, the expert. before you kick it to me. I want to hear your insights.
Okay, so if this was really the match, I feel like it would have happened 8 years ago. And I get nervous when I hear language like land him without scaring him off and have him slip through my fingers.
Yes.
It sounds like just in the way she's thinking of it, she's got to catch this man. And that's opposite of what nature, how nature is set up. She's not supposed to chase the man.
Right.
And she shouldn't have to get into any sort of trickery or machinations to make sure that he sticks around. If he wants to be with her, if he wants to stick around, all she has to do is be herself.
I agree with a lot of that. I disagree with the end. I think that he should be chasing her. And alarm bells are going off a little bit when I hear he lost my number and he was trying to find me and blah, blah, blah. You know what, though? We'll give him the benefit of the doubt. Maybe it happened. I'm dubious about that, though. I would say at this point, you got to be you. But I think we should remember, at the end of the day, people want what they can't have. And you and I disagree a little bit about games. I kind of encourage them, not the terrible kind and with like the when you're mind effing somebody, but like a little bit of games of being hard to get. Maybe being a little bit busy. Maybe not being so available all the time. I think
don't
that stuff
disagree.
Works.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you on that. I just use different terminology. but it is a little bit of a game, and she's just been available to him every time he's called every 4 years. He's like a leap year or something.
He's like the Olympics.
I say go for the gold, and I'm not sure that this guy is it. I have another question that I think is really interesting, and I have to admit I've never tackled a question even remotely like this before.
I'm intrigued.
This one comes from a 47-year-old from Salem, Oregon. She says she's recently divorced, and she's unable to move out of the house she shares with her ex-husband due to financial reasons. She has no friends or family to move in with. She's working to save money to move out, but she's wondering if she should start dating now or wait until she moves out because she doesn't know how to explain this living situation to someone that she meets. And they're sleeping separately. They're not having sex. And she wishes she could move out, but she can't afford to. But she'd really like to find somebody who loves her. What do you think? What would you think if you went to pick up a girl for a date and she's like, oh, this is my ex-husband, whatever.
You're right. This is a tricky one, but I think that it kind of goes to something you talk about quite often, which is you got to create your own reality. Create that reality for yourself, and the other person will feed off that. And what do I mean by that is, for instance, for me, when I date, I rarely go to a girl's house. I always bring them back to my house. It's just the way I do it. Everyone's different, but I like being on my turf, whatever you want to call it. So the point is, the way I date,
to kidnap them and drag them, drag them into your lair,
and go visit my relatives. So, don't even offer coming to his place, coming back to your place. Go back to his place if you want to go see it. And you bring up the fact that you live with your ex whenever you damn well please, and don't rush into it. Don't worry about it. Don't even think about it. Your reality is, I'm dating. I'm single.
So you don't think there's anything wrong with her living with her ex right now?
It's not ideal, but there's nothing wrong with it ethically. She's in a bind, and it's temporary. It'll soon probably fix itself. So for now, that doesn't mean you have to be abstinent. Go out and date, but just don't invite him back to your place ever or talk about it.
Ever. I agree with you. I agree with you. I think she needs to not delay her happiness, and you know, especially coming out of divorce, she needs to feel like herself again. And one great way to do that is to get out there and see that you have attention from other men. Yeah. And that your ex is not the only game in town. And boy, that will just really make his blood boil when he sees you going out all the time. But F him. That's why he's your ex.
Wait, who? The ex or the new guy?
The ex.
Who
will
are we
just
effing?
The ex.
Okay.
No, don't actually F him. I'm saying F him in the dismissal terminology. So forget about him and just say, honey, you lost it, and I'm going to go out and meet somebody new.
How long do you think we can keep the charade up? Let's say you're her and you're dating this guy, you like him, you still live with your ex. How long do you think you could keep the charade up?
Or I don't think she needs to even hide the fact that she lives with her ex.
Or when do you drop the bomb? That, by the way, I still live with my ex.
I think probably third date. That's about the point where you're bonded with this person. And you don't want it to seem like you're hiding something. Because like, I remember there was this girl that I was really close friends with in school, and every time we played, it was at my house. And I know this is like a different situation, but whenever I would drop her off, I never got invited into her house. And she was one of my really good friends for years, and I was always like, what the heck is going on in her house? I don't know. Maybe her family were hoarders or something like that. I still to this day have no idea what was happening in her house. But it just breeded a sense of distrust because I felt like she was always hiding something from me. So you don't want to build a relationship on that.
I would say I would let him know if I was her after we've been intimate at, of course, his place. After you've been intimate, then it's time to start getting real.
You run away from a woman if she's like, by the way, I still live with my ex for financial reasons? And be like, oh, no, not going to do that.
So, okay, so I meet a girl and we have a few dates or whatever, 4 or 5 dates, and we get intimate and I'm into her. No, I'd say, okay, look, that's temporary. If you really don't love him and you are into me and we can pursue something real, I'm not mad at that. I would pursue it.
Only if she's 34 or less. How much time do we have, Producer Jay?
We got about 10 minutes. I just wanted to say I would run on that one. I don't know, because it's just with the relationships things, like when you've got an ex and you're still, it can get really, really messy. And I don't know that I am in that space personally to be dealing with that kind of stuff. I want the person out of your life.
Maybe she can move in with you then.
No, she ain't doing that. But we can wait. I'm cool with, like, you know, with waiting. If I like you, we just won't take it to that next serious step or whatever stages until you can tell me for sure that y'all done.
What if she meets somebody else in between?
Well, then I guess I lost it. That's all. I'm gone now. Go ahead. We got 10 minutes.
So we have a question from a 29-year-old from Oregon. She says, when you finally make a connection with a guy and they reply but don't answer your questions in your email, I'm assuming she's meaning online dating, and they exchange numbers but never actually call you, or they expect you to do the work, what should you do? So 29, I'll let you take this since that's the age demographic that you date.
That is my wheelhouse.
It's your wheelhouse. So what does it mean if a guy is just going back and forth and emailing her and exchanging numbers, but then never actually calls her?
So I'll break this out into two parts. The first part, she says he doesn't answer my questions in the email or text. That I'm okay with, because I hate getting stuck in a terrible conversation thread about some subject that either I brought up or she brought up that is just not that compelling. So don't be mad at people when they don't answer the question over text or email.
Pause. Mm-hmm. Do you just not answer and then just let it go into
change the subject? Text?
You respond, you just don't respond to that question.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I don't just go quiet. I don't go dark on them. But I just ignore that subject and I move on to a subject I want to talk about. The second part of this, so don't be butthurt about that, but I would say the second part of this is alarming. If he's not that serious about, like, setting up the date, then stop. Stop communication. He needs to make a move, set up dates, and don't be the first one to text him or call or anything. Just you lay back. You got too much other stuff. You got all these guys. You got work. You got all this other stuff going on in your life. He can come to you when he can try to earn a date with you. That's the perception I think she should have.
I like that. That was how I thought of it back in my single days. And I was very busy. My husband actually jokes that I set our second date like a week in advance, because I literally had to schedule him in because I was juggling a lot at the time. But I really wanted to see him. But I guess that let him know I was very busy, but I'll see you it was like a week and a half out.
I like that.
And he was getting on my calendar. So in one way, it could be seen as like too eager. But on another hand, he knew that I was busy in those whatever 10 days that passed. It made him have to think of me a lot. I would say that here's what I recommend to women. I think it's dangerous when you just give out your number and you're just like, sure, call me anytime. It kind of goes back to what you were saying. It makes the guy think, oh, she's just available anytime. So my recommendation is when you do give out your number, also give a framework of time that they can call you in. Not just because you don't want to be fielding calls from them at midnight. But if you say, oh, I'll be home tomorrow night between 6 and 8, that lets him know he has a specific thing to do to win you over. And if he says, sure, I'll call you then you've set up an expectation that he can either make or break. And this is a good way to test. This is a little bit of playing games.
Yeah.
It's a good way to test if he's actually interested in you and if he's going to really show up for you. Because if he does not call you between that window and then he comes at you the next day with all these excuses, oh, I'm sorry, I had to work, or this happened, he's just not that into it. And you're going to end up feeling like you're chasing him and dragging him along like she's feeling right now.
That's such a good power move, actually, what you just mentioned. The idea of, and this is good in business or in life, is like when you're meeting with someone, you tell them when you're available. You give them a little couple slots because you're the one that's got a busy schedule. That's such a good move, especially when girls do it. It's like, okay, can this girl fit me into her tight schedule? It's a psychological thing that really does work.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so those are the questions that we have today. Do we have time for a little he said, she said? Yeah, we got 5 minutes. We got to do this.
Oof.
So you want to throw out a topic and I'll take the ladies' road, you take the guys' road?
This one actually might cross gender lines a little bit because, okay, I got one for you. Here it is. I'll just drop it on you. If you are currently dating somebody and things are getting serious, you guys are exclusive, can you remain friends with your exes? And by that I mean, like, you're talking occasionally. Maybe you text here and there. Maybe you have a phone call here and there. But you are not doing any kind of funny business or hanky-panky. Can you remain friends?
I say yes. You can remain friends with your exes as long as you can keep that boundary really, really clear. And sometimes texting can get a little bit of a gray, turn into a little bit of a gray area because it's a private one-to-one conversation. So I would say as long as you will not text them anything that you would not want your significant other to see.
I like that.
Well, yeah, and that's kind of the rule of thumb. Like, don't put anything in writing that you would not want to see, like, plastered on a billboard outside of your apartment.
Yeah.
Because if you say it, it's out there. Even if you delete it, it exists somewhere. And you don't want any of those words coming back to bite you. And then I would be very clear with the person you are currently dating that you are talking to this person, but you are not interested in dating them anymore and that they are now the only person that you have eyes for.
So I appreciate that take. I'm going to respectfully disagree.
Oh, of course you are.
I say no. Like, that's your past. Okay, I'll put it this way. Let's say you live in the same city. That's kind of the important caveat here, I believe. If you live in the same city, and this is your ex, and you guys had obviously enough of a rapport to date for a long time, and you're still talking, that's how good your rapport is, and there's a chance you might stumble into each other, there's a chance you might actually have a booty call, a late night text when you're in a fight. I don't want that. I don't want, because it's just too easy to fall back in that easy, comfortable with your ex, that feeling and that the rapport that you have. I would say if you live in a different city, okay, because it's very difficult to arrange a hookup. It's just too much red tape. And by the time you actually decide on booking a flight or something, that moment has passed. But if you live in the same city, I don't want my girls. I don't want my girlfriend or
my
wife.
My girls.
My
I
queen.
Don't want my harem.
I don't want my queen talking to other men. I'm the guy you talk to. I should fulfill your manly needs.
But here's the problem, Ray. Too many times people think that their partner has to fulfill every need that they have. And I think that puts too much expectation on your relationship. I think sometimes you have certain friends that fulfill one need in your life, and then you might have another friend that fulfills another need. But your partner cannot be your be-all and end-all. And just because you had a friendly rapport with someone, if you broke up, there's obviously something that makes this person not ideal for you as a partner for the long term. So I think you as a partner need to be secure enough that you're bringing enough to the table. And if that person, you really trust them and they tell you that you're the only one for them, you've got to believe them.
Well,
and then secretly go through their phone.
And lurk. Okay, I'll give you that point, but I'll say ultimately, yes, you can have other male friends, but I want them to be either your gay best friends or somebody, some guy, maybe he's straight, but you guys have not done the no pants dance together. You have not slept together. If you've slept together, I don't want you sliding up in my girl's DM or texting her or calling her. No, get it out.
I love, yeah, the way that you describe things, sliding up into her DM. There was a sort of a double meaning there.
It's going down in the DM.
Okay, well, I think we're just going to have to agree to disagree. I think people are mature enough to have friendships with past relationships, and if they really can say that they do not have feelings for that person anymore and that they're in a relationship with someone else, I think that they can be a grown-up. And I say, go ahead and be friends with your exes as long as it's all out on the table and you're not doing any, you're not saying anything, you're not doing anything that you would be ashamed for your current partner to see.
Okay, last little layer to this onion. If there is a gender that has a little bit more wiggle room than the other, males or females, in terms of they should be able to maybe have friends with an ex, who would you say? Males or females?
I think women are certainly better at that. Because we can have platonic friends. We can have platonic, guy friends, and we're not thinking of sex all the time like you guys.
Okay, I disagree, because I think girls, while you are good at playing defense and blocking efforts to get at you, I think guys, it's like you should trust that I'm not going to take this like max effort to go hook up with a girl, while I know guys that are around you in your life are probably trying to get into that and have fun with you.
You're worried about the emotional affair, aren't you?
Well, that too.
Oh, another layer.
That too.
I don't know. Who do you think is right? If you're voting with me, you think it's okay for you to stay friends with an ex, then go ahead and post it on my Facebook wall, Dating Expert Damona Hoffman, or tweet me at Damona Hoffman and say, he said, she said, hashtag team she, if you think Ray is right.
I love this competition.
And you can only be one thing or another.
Who's judging this, by the way? Are you tallying this? There's a little conflict of interest here.
Producer Jay will tally it.
Okay. I trust you.
But it's got to be public. It's got to be out there. So if you think Ray's right, and once an ex, always an ex, never a friend, and you got to cut it off, then go ahead and vote for Ray and say, he said, she said, hashtag team he.
Boom.
That's all the time we have for today. Hope you've enjoyed today's Dates and Mates and the new Technically Dating. Follow me on Twitter at Damona Hoffman. You can follow Ray and the Texpert team at Texpert_app on Instagram. And we'll be here next Wednesday at 11 a.m. And as always, we will be on Stitcher, iTunes, Spreaker, and now iHeartRadio. So make sure you subscribe to the show. Leave us a review. Tell us what you love. Tell us what's on your mind. And we'll see you next week. Until then, happy dating.